Well, this morning, if we'd open our Bibles and stand our feet and open our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 9 through verse 15. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God echoes the witness that is in himself. He that believeth not God echoes not, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God gave, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son echoes not life. These things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that we have eternal life, and that we may believe on his name, on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whosoever we ask, we know that we have the petition, or whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. And 1 John 3, verse 21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read from 1 John, which is a beautiful, beautiful book, and 1 John 5, speaking of the witness that we have within us of your Son, that he is alive forevermore. And believing, Father, that you raised him from the dead, and that that life has been imparted to us. For Paul said in Colossians that when Jesus Christ, when he comes, that if we have the, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we shall appear with him in glory, in the same mind, in the same doxa. And so, Father, we are thankful that you yourself came down with a shout, a message in this hour. And we know that the hidden things belong unto you, but the things that have been revealed belong unto us and to our children. And so with this, we're very grateful, Father, but we also know that it's not an intellectual affair. It is a heartfelt affair. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless your word this morning as we approach it. I pray that you'd lift off that nervousness from me because of all the running around this morning trying to get things ready. And I just pray you'd help me to settle into the sermon. And we ask that your believers here would also, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated now. I apologize for the... I can't apologize for the lightning storm. That's the devil. But anyway, I believe this message is very important that we have this morning, because to me, when I look around, I see so many young people, especially, and even older people in this message. They don't have a true revelation. They have a mental revelation or mental understanding. And as Brother Vail has told me so many times, he said, Brian, they've got it, but they don't got it. Well, you say, well, what does that mean? Well, that means up here, people can quote it, people can talk it, they can use the right words, they can even be in the right camp, but it doesn't mean they're born again. Years ago, I had a young guy come to me, and he was raised up in this message, raised up under Brother Vail's ministry. And he came to me, and he said, Brother, he said, he's weeping and crying because he had, I preached a message called Righteousness and Unrighteousness. And afterwards, he came and said, From what you're saying, I'm not even born again. I said, that's right, brother. You're not born again. And he said, well, I always believed that I was elect. That I was elect seed of God. And I said, well, brother, I said, you could be a seed. But I said, if that seed hasn't been germatized, it's just as dead can be. I said, you need to get on your knees and not get up. You need to go to the woods someplace and get away from all your cell phones, all your toys, all your, he had all the boy toys you could think of. And get on your knees and don't get up until you hear from God. Now, I believe in an old-fashioned experience with God. I don't believe in this stuff that, people say, we don't go by experience, because Brother Branham didn't say that. I mean, he said it, but he didn't say it. Brother Branham and Brother Vail, if you talk to Brother Vail, they were talking about the evidence, not the experience, the evidence. And when Brother Vail brought up a couple of Brother Branham's experiences, Brother Branham said, we don't go by experience, we go by the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have an experience, because you'd have to throw out half of Brother Branham's sermons where he said you've got to have a genuine experience in your heart. And that's the problem today, is people will take one thing and they take it and they run with it instead of coming back and say, Brother Vail, what do you really mean by that? You see? And there's a lot of things that go on like that. And so what we're looking at is Paul says in Romans 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So there's God deals with the heart. He doesn't deal with the mind. Except in the fact that it's got to come to the mind to drop into the heart. Brother Branham said it all begins with a mental understanding, a mental faith. But he said, but when God anoint, when it gets in there, God will anoint it and drop it into the soul. Then it becomes a dynamic revelation. You see? Now, why is a confession of what we believe in the heart made from the mouth? Because the scripture teaches us that what a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you are thinking day and night this message, that's because you are this message. It's in you. But if you can just get together for church once in a while, and when the right opportunities come, you can talk it, what have you got? You've got religion. Religion's a covering. It's a covering for your nasty behaviors. It's a covering for your nasty life. Now, I realize preaching like this doesn't get you any place with the peers, but I don't care. I really don't care. I have to answer to God. So if the witness, which is the very life that was in the Son, dwells also in your heart, then you can echo. You can say it the right, you can say it the, not only the same words, but the same inflection. You see, that's the difference between an echo and just repeating. A lot of people can say the same things. A parrot can say the same things. But an echo, you say it with the same spirit. I've made the illustration many times. You know, two guys could be talking and one could say, well, that woman, she's really beautiful. And you could say, okay, I can tell by the way he's saying it, he really thinks she's beautiful. And the other guy could say the exact same words now and say, that woman, she's really beautiful. Now, I said the same words, but the way that it was said is different. Billy Paul, in his testimony, says he was talking to his sister. I don't remember, I think it was Sarah. And he said something to her, very hard, very cruel, and she started crying. He said, what are you crying for? I just said what Daddy said. And she said, but you didn't say it the way Daddy said it. And that's the problem we have. Is people will say the words and they don't even understand what they're saying. Because if you don't say it the same way it was said, you don't understand. You just don't understand. God's not coming for a bunch of intellectuals. He's coming for those whose hearts are born again by the Spirit of God. The scripture tells us in Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Now man does not know if his heart is wicked or righteous, but they can make their flesh to look righteous, even though in their hearts they're still wicked. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, it says in Acts 28. Verse 27, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Again in John 12:40, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. God deals with the heart. Matthew 13:15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, what are the eyes? That's the prophets. In fact, you go back to Isaiah, it says they have closed their eyes to the prophets. Why? Because they won't say what he said. They won't live how he lived. You see? So we see the condition of the heart is dry and wax gross, and that makes them in their understanding dull of hearing. But although they can fake it until they make it, so to speak, that's kind of the term that Hillary Clinton used, you know. They can't fake out God, who's the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Like Brother Branham said, you know, even a dog knows if you really love him or not. He said, even a little animal knows if you fear him or not. He said, then you think people are that stupid that they can't see through your plastic, you know, Lord bless you, my brother? And then you walk away and they stab you in the back. Well, Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick, it's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents in the intents of the heart. God looks at your motives. You think, well, if God sees me doing this, you know. No, listen, it's not what He sees. He looks in here. He's looking right down into your motive. What is your motive for doing what you do? What is your motive for saying what you say? You see? Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. So evil men, well, so God knows your thoughts and even the intentions that you think that you can hide in your heart. So evil will not get away with it no matter what they try. You say, well, I wasn't aware that I was evil. I didn't realize that what I did was evil. Yes, you did. God knows you did. But God also knows whether your heart is true and righteous and desirous to know more of Him. So we read in Acts 15 and 8, and God which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost as He did unto us. God looks at your heart first. If your heart is ready, that's why He said He gives you a new heart. And Brother Branham says, that's a new understanding. Then He says He gives you a new spirit. Not His spirit, a new spirit. He said, that's new desires that come from that new understanding. The problem is people get this new understanding mentally, but they don't even get as far as a new spirit. As Brother Branham said, your own spirit, you couldn't get along with yourself, much less God come in and dwell in you. And he said, once you've got that new heart, that new spirit, then God Himself will come in. Now, I know we can, as believers here, we all try to live a good, clean life. How many of you would like to go into a restaurant where you know that all the cooks and everything else are homosexuals? Huh? Would you eat the food they prepare? You think God's going to come into a vessel that's filthy and takes advantage of people and abuses people? I don't think so. God waited till Jesus was 30 years old. Watched him 30 years before He baptized Him with the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, I've been in this message since I was just a baby, and I've believed it all my whole life. That don't mean you're born again. But I believe everything He says. That don't mean you're born again. You've got to know in your heart. Brother Branham said, and you know, as I said before, when Brother Vail was talking to Brother Branham, they were talking about the evidence, not the experience, the evidence. So when Brother Vail said, well, what about those two experiences you've had? Brother Vail, we don't go by experience. We're going by the Word of God. So what is the experience? It's the Word of God made alive in you. Amen. Not just a mental understanding. Not just saying, I believe it. The devil believes it. And what does the Bible say? And he trembles. Those devils that were in mob said to Jesus, Thou Jesus, Son of God, have mercy on us. You think they were saved? Do you think they were filled with the Holy Ghost? Just because you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God doesn't mean diddly squat. And just because you say there's one God and He had a Son, I've got the doctrine, doesn't mean diddly squat, because I'm going to tell you something. I've been in communication with a church in Minnesota, west of Minneapolis, who, and there's a college in Georgia that believe that there's one God and He had a Son. Oh yeah. And they believe that God indwelt the Son. I can take and show you their tenet. And it's just everything right down the, just dabs what we believe. The guy was a theologian for the Church of God, and he left the Church of God because they're Trinitarian. And he come to the understanding of Godhead. Now, there's a few places where they differ a little bit, but they lay it out like we lay it out. So just because you got the right doctrine doesn't mean diddly squat. And I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little tough this morning, but I am. You know, I've had it up to here with just this idea that we're going to ride on Brother Vail's tail, we're going to ride on Brother Branham's tailcoat. You're not going to ride on anybody's tailcoat. You've got to come in on your own. And you kids are not coming in on mom and dad's tailcoat. You've got to have your own experience with Jesus Christ. Acts 7:51, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Notice the children of Israel that left Egypt never actually returned to Egypt, but in their hearts they wanted to, but were afraid to actually do so. They were afraid of the man Moses, so they didn't do it. How many people are afraid of the pastor, or afraid of the teacher, or afraid of the prophet? So around them, everything's, you know. But get them alone, see where they go. In Acts 7:39, to whom our forefathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again into Egypt. Where's your heart this morning? Are you preparing your life for the resurrection and the ministry that will be there and the going home? Are you getting ready? And so it is in our heart, if we wish to examine this morning, to see where our hearts stand with God and His Word. Because if we believe from the heart, then we will make our confession from the mouth. But just because you have a confession coming from your mouth doesn't mean you necessarily believe it from the heart. There is a difference. And you're going to see it in the way that you live. In 1 John 5:10, as we read for our text, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He will echo the witness inside of himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Tell me, which of the Pharisees didn't believe Moses? Now come on. And yet when the very word of God was manifested in their presence, what did they do with it? They crucified him. The very God they claimed to believe that was indwelling his Son, they hated him. And not for what he did, it was for what he said. We're taught also in 1 John 4:15, whosoever shall confess, that word is homologia, which means the same word, say the same thing, that Jesus is the Son of God, God will dwell in him, and he in God. Now remember, Jesus said, he that confesses me before men, I will confess him before my Father. And the word confess is homologio, means the same, homo, same, and logio, loga, same word. So Jesus, we say Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus will say to the Father, we say Jesus is my brother, Jesus will say he's my brother. You see, saying the same thing. Now, we see this in Luke 12:8. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. All right. So we see that God, Jesus Himself speaking, that our confession will be reflected, echoed back to the angels and to God. We also find Paul in Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And you say, well, I know, I just believe that I'm a son of God. I believe I'm a daughter of God. It didn't say your spirit bears witness with his spirit. It says his spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Well, how does that bearing witness? How does God's spirit bear witness with your spirit? That's the key. That's what we need to know. How is God's Spirit bearing witness with my spirit? Is it because I say the same things? I talk about the token? Do you even know what the token is? He didn't say talk about it. Brother Branham didn't say come together and talk the word. I've got a quote where he said that right in the token. He said, he never said come together and talk the word. He said apply it. Apply it. And he said, without a word, your life will be a testimony. And he said, preach me a sermon. Don't speak it to me. Now, I wish I could just do that. Because then I wouldn't have to be facing all of you down. You see? And all those who dislike the way that I preach. But the fact is that you live it. And I try to live it to the best of my ability. Sometimes I get a little bit hot, like Brother Vail gets a little bit hot. It's not because he was my mentor, although that's maybe, well, no, I have to blame it on me. All right? But the fact is, I hate hypocrisy. I don't like it one bit. I hate religion. I honestly do. If I had my druthers, I would move to the mountains of Montana, have a nice mountain lake, mountains in the background, a nice mountain lake, and I get as far away from people as I could. I mean, I love people. Don't get me wrong. But I hate hypocrisy and I hate religion. I hate it because it's a covering. I love a good personal relationship with my Maker. And if I can have a good personal relationship with you, even though our personalities may be different, if you're honest with me and speak from the heart, I'm honest with you, I speak from the heart, we can get along pretty good. You see? And that's the way God meant us to be. Now, Paul says in Acts 15 and 8, "And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us." God, knowing your heart, bears witness to what's in there. Then He says, "Okay, I'm giving him my God life." And from uncertain sound, Brother Rand said, "Oh, brother, may the Holy Spirit get into your hearts this morning. Give us the sound of that heartbeat of the Holy Ghost and His power." Can you feel the heartbeat of God in your heart? You ever feel that pulsating of the Holy Ghost? Oh, you say, "Now you're getting Pentecostal on me." Listen, Brother Branham talked, that's his words. And that is how Luke explains it in the book of Acts. Acts 17:28. "For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring." Oh, if every breath that I take could be God's breath. If every heartbeat that I have could be God's heart beating in me. Then I would see what He sees. I'd speak what He speaks. I'd do what He does. You see, I believe we're coming to the time, brother, sister, we don't have visions like Brother Branham had. Brother Branham was dependent on visions to do what he did. Jesus was dependent on visions to do what he did. But God's not doing that for you and me. Like Brother Vail said the other night, he said, "You know, you can press yourself into visions." He said, "I used to have them," and he said, "and I got away from it." He said, "I wish I'd never had." Why? Not to have visions, not to be somebody, but just to have that closer, intimate relationship. But let me tell you something. If you've got the very mind of God, you don't need a vision to tell you what to say. You don't need a vision to tell you what to do. You don't need a vision to show you the right doctrine. Your heart will beat as God's heart beats. Amen. Your mind will think as God's mind thinks. From Why Christ Speak, he says, now, notice, faith sees what God wants you to see. Faith sees what God sees, and reasoning and senses see what the world wants you to see. Amen. Brother Bell mentioned a certain preacher years ago that he knew just a long time ago, maybe 40 years ago. He said he could get on to he could be in public, there could be music going on and stuff. He was so focused, he didn't even hear it. Conversations going around him, he didn't even hear it. Why? He was focused. You see, when we're not focused, everything's a distraction. They said to Brother Branham, "You know what they're saying about you?" He said, "Just forget it. Just forget it." "Oh, but this concerns you, Brother Branham. They're saying about your mother and you." He said, "Listen." He said, if I focus on those things, I'm being pulled this way and that way. But he said, "I've got my eyes set on the end of the road." How about if we got our eyes set on Calvary? Huh? On what Jesus did, that great once for all sacrifice, then you won't be bothered too much about your falling here and there. Paul said, "Who can deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who gives me the victory." Amen? Amen. Don't worry about what you're seeing that you don't like. Worry about what's in here that you don't like. And everything else will work its way out. And when we can feel God's heart beating in our heart, we think what God thinks, and we see what God sees, and we speak what God speaks. You see, when you are so in tune with the mind of God until all your thoughts are of God, you don't need visions to know what God wants you to do. Because you see what God sees and think what God thinks, and you do what God does, and you speak what God speaks. And as Brother Branham, toward the end of his ministry, right toward the very end, he didn't need visions anymore. He said, "Brother Vail," he said, "all my thoughts are of God." Yeah. All my thoughts are of God. That's where God wants us. He said, "I will place my spirit in their heart. And they will know. And they will be taught." In John 20:31, "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." And again, one other scripture here, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, listen, I always wondered about that. I always wondered about that, how Jesus could say, no man, or Paul could say, no man could call Jesus the Christ or Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And I thought, well, talk to any Baptist. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Christ. Well, Brother Branham said, from looking at the unseen, he said, I think that the Holy Spirit can lead a man and tell him things and make him act different and make him believe things and receive things that the world never could believe could happen. I'm a witness. I was a blind man once myself, practically had to be led. So I know now what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit, oh, can't you feel that pulsation of the Spirit begin to rise in your heart? Saying, Jesus Christ is in our midst. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their midst. Pulsations, something moving like a heartbeat. It's pumping energy to your spirit. It's pumping energy to your mind. Then let the things that your eyes see black out. That you see not the things of the world, you're believing what God said. Remember Brother Bill read to us years ago from the book of Isaiah? God said, behold my blind servant who cannot see, and my deaf servant who cannot hear. Now one of the translations I read on the internet, there's BibleGateway.com have about maybe 15, 20 English translations. But it said, blessed is my servant who is blind but sees only what I want him to see, and who is deaf but hears only what I want him to hear. Why? Because that man had the mind, the heartbeat of God. You know, we have the Chevy commercials, the heartbeat of America. Well, you can have the heartbeat of America because it's dying. I want to have the heartbeat of God. Pulsation, something moving like a heartbeat, is pumping energy to your spirit. It's pumping energy to your mind. Then let the things that your eyes see black out. That you see nothing of the world. That you're believing what God said. And from Patmos Vision, he said, while we're talking on revelation, ask him to give you a revelation of this. For it can only be known by revelation, and you can only be saved by revelation. You have a knowledge of it intellectually, but you can't be saved until it's revealed to you. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. No man can say Jesus is the Christ until he has received the Holy Ghost. He might say the pastor says so I believe it, or the Bible says so, them are true. The church says so, that is true. But you don't know yourself until the Holy Ghost has revealed it to you and he's become in you. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Not by knowledge, not by intellectual. Again, from Christ is the mystery, he said, now look, Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation. Is he the center of your revelation? Is he the center of your life? See, Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Now he's honing it down a little bit here. First he said, Christ in you makes him the center of the revelation. He said, well, Christ is me. Hallelujah. Then he says, but Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, shall phaneru, shall manifest in his true character, so shall you manifest in your true character with him in glory, with him in the same opinion, the same value, and the same judgment. Well, you say, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules, but Christ, the Bible, he is the word that's revealed to you, and no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And from discernment of spirits, Brother Brown said, no man can call Jesus the Christ by intellectual conception. No man can call Jesus the Christ because he feels sorry for his sins and comes and repents. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by that revelation of the Holy Ghost making it known to him. Upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. There's the revelation. There it is. What he's built his church upon. And yet,
when he said, who do men say that I am? Well, Jeremiah, some of the prophets, this and that. He said, but who do you say I am? Peter was struck by revelation. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, Jesus, after that, said, Peter, when you're converted, you're not even born again yet, Peter. You got the revelation that's going to begin the whole thing. But let me tell you something, you're not even born again. You see, you're not born again when you believe. Peter believed, didn't he? You're born again. The scripture says, since you believed. Say all that the prophets said.
Well, from who is this? Brother Branham said, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. You say, I believe it because the Word says so. That's true. But the Word says that no man can say Jesus is the Christ until you have received the Holy Ghost. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost? I'm going to ask every one of you, but you don't have to raise your hand. Have you gotten on your knees and asked God if you've got the Holy Ghost? Don't ask me. Don't ask your wife. She'll tell you you don't. I'm just joking. But you know, John said, he that says he has no sin, you know what he said? He only deceives himself. You only fool yourself if you think you're perfect. Because you're not. Paul said, who can deliver me? Prophet of God. Who can deliver me from the body of this death? Brother Branham said, he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He said, you know, in one place he said, well, if we had to go by what we know and what we did with what we know, he said, I'd go last. You look at that life, you say, he'd go last? Yeah. He said, if our going in the rapture was based on what we do with what we know, he said, I would go last. So what do we know? We've been sitting under a great teaching ministry, Brother Vail's ministry. What do we know that others don't know? And you're going to be held more accountable for what you know. So how's your life giving up with what you know? Huh? You got TVs in your house? Get rid of them. Get rid of them. I don't care if you like football. Get rid of them. I mean, I like football. Go to the neighbor's house and watch. Brother Branham said, apply the token. Brother Branham did go to Banks Wood's house to watch Westerns and stuff, so I guess it's not TV itself. It's what you do with it. You can sit and vegetate hour upon hour upon hour, or you could crack your Bible open and get something from God. Amen? All right, from who is this? From Super Sense, he said, now, you and listen, I'm really, you know, if you took a survey in this message of how many people have TVs and the prophet of God said, clean your house up, get rid of them, get rid of the filthy magazines and newspapers and all this other stuff, I'd be surprised to see the small percentage of people that actually apply the token. Then they wonder why their kids have problems. And why the kids have trouble with, when they get a little bit older, they have trouble with sexual things and everything else. It's what they're feeding on, behind your back. From Super Sense, he says, now you cannot believe it until you are regenerated. Are you regenerated? I'm not looking at you because I'm questioning you particular. I'm just looking around. Are you regenerated? Do you know yourself? Don't depend on mama and daddy to tell you you got the Holy Ghost. You better know yourself. The Bible says that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said, how can a woman give birth and not know it? How can you be born again and not know it, he said. Something happens to you within you. He said, we went through that this week and it's been such a stumbling block, especially to the Pentecostal believing people. When they hear me say that Jesus said in St. John 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. Eternal life comes from God alone. And no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. You're not. You're only taking what somebody else said. What you learn by the intellectual. What you learn by the natural five senses. But when the sixth sense comes in, the Holy Spirit, it takes away all the reasonings of these six senses, these five senses, and lifts you into that sixth sense and makes you believe things that you can't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. It does something to you. Then you can say Jesus is the Christ because you have witnessed it. Not what intellectual teaching has taught you, but what you personally have experienced. Well, whatever happened to the all-night prayer on our knees for God to come in and change our lives? I don't see it in this generation.
I saw it in myself. I've seen it in others my generation and older. But I don't see the young people coming to church early, getting on their knees and praying to God, or going into the closets and praying and not coming out until they've heard from God. They're taking for granted that we've got it. We're in the message. We believe the message. And we're going to make it because, you know, hey, we believe God sent a prophet. We believe that there was a great teaching ministry that, you know, and we believe we've got a good pastor and all these things. But hey, that won't do it for you. I'm sorry. The rapture is going to be very, very small. And it's not going to be a big group going in. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be, well, our whole church, you know, we're blessed of God because this. Listen, God don't deal with churches. He deals with individuals. And He deals with the heart. From questions and answers, he said, now I know that's a great scripture. I use it myself. I've got it written here, St. John 5:24. It's a pet scripture for me. For Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me has eternal life." Let me read it so that I'll get it just perfectly right. St. John 5, and I want you to listen close now as we go into the scripture. John 5 and 24th verse. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He that believeth on me." Now the scripture says that no man can say Jesus is the Christ only by the Holy Ghost, so you cannot believe that Jesus is the Christ until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're not testifying or saying what the scripture says, saying what the pastor says, saying what mother says or a good preacher says, but you don't know it yourself until he has witnessed his resurrection to you. And no man can call Jesus the Christ until by the Holy Ghost. Now that's what Brother Vell meant when he said to me, "Brian, they've got it, but they don't got it. They can quote it, they can talk it, but is it alive in a way that changes their lives and becomes a supreme thing in their life? Do they have it?" From expectation. Now, God is not known by intellectual faith. God is known by the experience of new birth only. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again of the Spirit of God, he cannot even see the kingdom of God." Now, any Bible scholar here knows that the word "see" there does not mean to look with your eyes. It means to understand. You say, "Well, I'm looking at something or other and I just don't see it." You mean you don't understand it. You're looking right at it. You look at it with your eyes, but understand with your heart. That's right. You can't understand it. And no man can know nothing of God until first you're born of the Spirit of God. The Bible said no man can call Jesus the Christ. Only by the Holy Spirit is the only thing. And you can say, "Well, I believe he's the Son of God." If you haven't been born again, you're just taking somebody's word for it. You say, "Well, the Bible said so." That's right. The Bible's right. But what about you? You say, "Well, the preacher said so." The preacher's right. But what about you? "Well, mother said so." Mother's right. But what about you? It's a personal experience of your own that you've got to be born again or you'll never understand God. So how many people are saying the words but really don't understand God? They said to Brother Branham, "Well, you know, you sure don't know your Bible, but you know what?" He said, "But I sure know the author real well." Huh? You know, it's not what you know, it's who you know. That's what life is all about. You try to get a job. Good people coming out of college, they can't get jobs. They don't know anybody. People that don't even have education, they know somebody, they get a job right away. It's what you know. It's who you know. What about salvation? You think that you can master your way, get a PhD, your way into heaven? I don't think so. You've got to have a personal relationship, a personal witness within you. From things that are to be, he said, a certain denominational minister the other night said to me, said, "Brother Branham, looky here. Jesus said, whosoever believeth, the Bible said, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is born of the Spirit of God." I said, "Don't the Bible also say that no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost?" See, you can't make the Bible lie. It's got to hook right in. So you have to become absolutely born again by the Holy Spirit in you that witness out yourself, you know, that he is the Son of God. And then if you are a child of God in the Word of God, how can you deny the Word? You see, get the birth first. Then you'll understand the doctrine. Too many people think they got the doctrine, And then they go off here, they go off here. Get the birth first. Come to know Him. He'll lead you into all truth. From unfailing realities of God, the Holy Spirit comes today in a manner like present, in like manner to present God to man. But man wants to go to church. It drowns his thinking. He cannot fathom it. And we must learn that God is not known by intellectual conception. God is known by the new birth, by the Holy Ghost, not by any other way. Jesus, the Bible has plainly quoted us that no man can call Jesus Christ only by the Holy Ghost. And if you've never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that He is the Christ, for that's the only way He's revealed Himself. You're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. The Bible said so. After Peter had both been saved and sanctified, given power to cast out unclean spirits and to preach the gospel, Jesus plainly told him he was not converted until he received the Holy Ghost. And he said, after you're converted, then strengthen your brethren. That was on the night of the betrayal. That he was not yet converted. And no man is truly converted until he's been changed and died to himself, and the Holy Spirit has control of that person. Well, have you died? Do you still have control of the things you say? The way that you walk and talk? Or is someone else pulling your string for you? Come on, the Bible says, if you be any otherwise minded, God will reveal it to you. Now getting back to what he said here, because I'm going to say it one more time. I want you to understand, when Brother Branham and Brother Vail were talking about the new birth, the evidence, not the birth itself. They weren't talking about the birth itself. They're talking about the evidence that a person was born again. And Brother Vail said, well, what about these experiences? No, Brother Vail. We're not talking about the experience. We're talking about the evidence. The evidence is that you will see the Word. The Word will become alive to you in the day in which you are living. That's the evidence. It's not the experience. Not talking about the experience. Every person must have an experience. Because Brother Branham said, you've got to have. I can take 100 quotes where Brother Branham said, you've got to have experience. So when he was talking to Brother Vail, they weren't talking about the experiences. Because he said, well, you had this experience of the rain pelting, you know, sensation, and the light over here. And this. Brother Vail, we're talking about the experience. We're talking about the evidence. And the evidence is the Word of God. Each of you people in here had a different experience when you were born the first time. Or your mother sure had a different experience as well. Some of you came out with a cone head. Some of you came out because of an incision to the mother. Others might have had something wrapped around their neck. Every one of you came forth in a birth with a different experience. And it's not any different in the kingdom of God. You can't say tongues is it because... No, you can't say that. It's the least of the gifts. You see? That Brother Vail said, well, we know the Pentecostals. He said, Brother Branham, we know the Pentecostals. They say it's tongues, but we know it's not that. Brother Branham used to believe it was love, but we know it's not that. He said, Brother Lee, we're not looking at experiences. We're talking about the evidence. We're here to show what the evidence is of the birth. You see, I don't care. You could all have a different experience when you came to God. But if you don't have the love for the truth, and if you don't have the revelation of what God is doing in this hour, and if it's not alive to you, then I don't care what your experience is. The experience doesn't matter. I'm not saying you didn't have one, but it doesn't matter. Where are you today? What has that experience birthed you into? Because Peter says there's two types of birth. Being born of corruptible seed or of the incorruptible by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Well, if you're born again by corruptible seed, it's every week to the altar. Every time the evangelist comes through and preaches a hellbound sermon, you're up to the altar. Every time there's a 9/11, you're up to the altar. But when you've truly been born of an incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, you're settled. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. No matter what anybody says, all your friends could turn on you. Don't matter. You've got Him. Amen. And you know in your heart where you stand with Him. And it doesn't matter what anybody tells you. You know where you stand. Well, that's where you've got to be. From the book of Exodus, Brother Branham said, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. There's no way of understanding it until you're born again, and then God reveals himself to you. Even Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it is, he said, what man can understand the things of God except the Spirit of God be in him? So unless you've got the Spirit of God, you can't understand. Because when you've got the Spirit of God, you're going to see what God sees. You're going to hear what God hears. You're going to think what God thinks. Well, Brother Branham says, there's no way of understanding until you're born again, and then God reveals himself to you, and then you know that you've passed from death unto life, because no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. See, the only way that you'll ever know that Jesus is the Christ is when the Holy Spirit personally witnesses to you that he is the resurrected Lord Jesus. No matter what we do, what kind of signs, what kind of miracles, you'll never know it until your personal experience with God. You say, well, I believe it's because the Bible said so. Well, that's good. The Bible is true. I know it's... Well, the preacher says so, perhaps. We know it. Mother says so. Yeah, she knows it. But what do you know about it? You'll never know it until it's revealed to you individually by the Holy Spirit. And then by accepting it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, born a second time. Now, so are you getting it from hearing somebody else talk about it? No. Well, you say, faith cometh by hearing. Yep, intellectual. But until God anoints it and drops it into here, you see, you ain't got nothing. You got intellectual conception. From faith in action, Brother Brown says, so if you just only get a mental conception of the Bible, if you say, well, I believe it because I read it, God's got to reveal it to you by your heart. No man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit deals in the heart. So if a man really believes it from his heart, he's not afraid to put it to the test. And you know, I've gone through some real tests myself. And this morning, I listened to Brother Branham all night last night. This morning, I just woke up and I was so happy for those tests. I just say, you know, Lord, I haven't been reacting to tests the way I should. I know where I stand with you. I know what your prophet said about these subjects that I'm being criticized about. But I know your prophet said them. And I'm standing with your prophet. And I don't care what the peers say. I don't care what the other ministers say. I only care what you say. And unless you can get to the place where you don't care if anybody's listening, you preach to the four corners. In fact, if you all want to leave, that's fine because I'll go to Montana. My wife keeps thinking we might be moving to Montana someday. I like to dream. Brother Branham, if he could have, he would have been in British Columbia, but... The Holy Spirit said, but if you do, you're going to look like this tramp in the dump. So he said, okay, I don't want to be the tramp in the dump. I'll continue to serve Jesus Christ. I'll continue to be crucified every day of my life. And we have to. And you know, if you're not getting crucified for what you believe, are you really believing? Come on. We are called to a life of crucifixion. And if everybody loves you, you have to wonder, Am I loving God? Am I loved by God? Or has he kind of just let me drift? If you're seeking man's love and not God's love, if you're seeking man's approval and not God's approval, and the only way you'll know that isn't by a mental conception. Well, I've done all the calculations here. I've read all the quotes here and this and that. No, it's in here, the final resting place. I know because it's right in my heart. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. From God's only provided place of worship, he said, my action and the vindication of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. I'm going to read that again. My action and the vindication of God's word in my life. What's vindication? It's evidence. The evidence of God's word in my life shows whether I'm a child of God or not. Now there's God's place. See it? The only place that God will receive your sacrifice, I don't care how sincere you are, is in Christ. And remember, you say, well, I believed, I come in too. Remember, the Bible says, you say, well, the Bible says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is Christ is the Son of God, is saved, shall be saved. It says that, but also remember, it is also written, he says it twice, no man can call Jesus the Christ only by the Holy Ghost. See, you might say he is, but he isn't until the Holy Spirit itself, which gives life to the Word, proves it by vindication that you are the Son of God then. That you are the Son of God. Huh? What was that? That you are the Son of God. Makes no difference if you've got a historical image of Jesus 2,000 years ago. Is he living in you? Is he speaking in you? Is he acting in you? Is his heart beating in rhythm with you in your life? From the Queen of Sheba, he said, the Bible said that no man can call Jesus Christ by only by the Holy Ghost. If you never received the Holy Ghost, you don't know that he's the Christ yet. Remember that. You're only walking towards the light. You can say, my pastor says so, that's true. My Bible says so, that's true. My mother says so, that's true. My church believes it's the Holy Ghost, that's true. But what about you as an individual? You don't know until you've received it. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you are a witness that he's alive forevermore. Now, the Holy Ghost is within you now. And then you watch him as he works. If the life of Christ is in you, it will produce his life in you. The works that I do shall you do also. The same works, because it's the same life. Now listen, this is where I've had a spat with some brothers. I'm not trying to spat, but they're attacking me because they're saying, well, I'm not teaching like Brother Vail taught. We've got 600 of Brother Vail's sermons on the internet that can be searched. And if you type in the greater works, you will find every time Brother Vail refers to John 14:12, he refers to the greater works. But there's another portion of that that deals with the works. And Brother Branham, in some of those quotes, he makes a distinction between the works and the greater works. And he claims the greater works for his own ministry, which I have no problem with that. I've always taught that. I've always taught that John 14:12, Brother Branham is identified, his ministry is identified with John 14:12, as is Malachi 4. But you know, in Malachi 4, there's also turning the hearts of the fathers to the children, which is John the Baptist as well. But Brother Branham identified with John 14:12, even though there's a part of it that's for John the Baptist. Brother Branham identified with John 14:12, the greater works, and he said in many different places, but he said the greater works is more than, according to the Diaglot, it's more than. And of course, we know that nobody had more than. Brother Branham said, God did more in his ministry than he did in his own son. How could you have a problem with that? But he also said the greater works, he said, now let's really look at that. The greater works, he said, Jesus, when he created fish, he took a fish and created other fish. When he took bread, he created bread from other bread. When he took made the wine, it was from water. It was from another substance. But he said, in my ministry, he spoke squirrels into existence, took nothing and made something out of it. He said, that's the greater works. And let me tell you something, nobody has had the greater works except William Branham, and I'm very clear about that. But let me also tell you that the works that I do shall he do also is also for you and I. It's also for every believer, or else there is only one believer, and that was William Branham. Just like the guy in Jeffersonville years ago, he said, Brother Branham was the only one with the Holy Ghost. And that's hogwash. Then you don't have sons, you only have two sons, William Branham and Jesus Christ. No, Paul said a vast family of brethren. We have a vast family of brethren. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And Brother Branham said, I have it with measure, you have it with measure, but Jesus alone had it without measure. So, where are we getting to? All I'm saying is, brother, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're not afraid to go against the flow. Amen. You don't care what other people say. You say what the prophet said. In fact, they said, Brother Branham, they said, is John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also? Is that all, everybody, or is that just Elijah? And he said, well, not exactly. He said, no, it's not everybody will have that, but that doesn't mean that it's one person only. He said, it's in a group of believers. It's in the group of believers. He said, such as we have in this church, he said, say we have a little child in the church, the child dies. The brothers get together, they lay hands on that child, the child comes back to life. He said, that's John 14:12. Now, if Brother Branham said it, then how can you say anything otherwise? Huh? What I'm saying is, be open in your spirit. Don't be such a clutterhead that you say, well, I'm afraid that because Brother Bill always talked about John 14:12 and the greater works, that, you know, if I say anything different, I'm going to be, you know, so what? He said it right. He was showing the example of John 14:12, the greater works, but he wasn't talking about the works. In the Church Age book, it talks about the works of the Holy Spirit in men like Columba. They raised two people from the dead. Now, come on. Brother Vail's own ministry, he talks about the different miracles and things that were done. He talks about Brother Bosworth creating eardrums. And how he loved to, that was kind of his focus of his healing. He prayed for people that were deaf, and God would grow eardrums. Well, you know, that's not works of God. You know, that's different. Listen, brother, don't be so stupid. Brother Brown said works, and then, he used the words, and then the greater works. In the scripture, when it uses a semicolon between the two, it says a semicolon separates an independent clause. Two independent clauses. So then works and greater works are independent of each other. And yet, you can have the same thing. It's in the works, in the greater works, only a whole lot more of them, and even ones that aren't here. You understand? So I take my stand with a vindicated prophet, and I teach it word upon word, thought upon thought. And this is the problem we have in the message. In 2004, I had the ministers come to me after the big meetings we had in Congo, and they said, we've learned how to read our Bibles. We always read them like a book. We read John 14:12 as one thing, and it's not. It's two things. Malachi 4 is not one thing, it's two things. The hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the fathers. It's two complete ministries separated by 2,000 years. In the book of Isaiah, Jesus picked up the scroll, he began to read, and he stopped at a comma. And Brother Branham said, you see, if he had read on, that was a different ministry 2,000 years later. A comma separating 2,000 years, two ministries, same Holy Ghost, same life. We need to come to the place, you don't care what anybody thinks. If God shows you in the Word, stay with it. Amen. Regardless. He says, the works that I do shall you do also, the same works, because it's the same life. So, does that mean Brother Branham's the only one that had the life of God? I don't think so. I can give you evidences through the history of the church of many, many, many. Does it mean that every one of you are going to have the miracle? No, it doesn't. Brother Brown said it didn't. He said, but in the group of believers, there will be. There will be. And you know why there's not so much in this message? Because they're not looking for it. They're not expecting it. Oh God, we lay hands and we just pray, if it be thy will. Well, doesn't the Bible say it's His will? He said, God willing more abundantly to give you. And Brother Brown said, you have not because you ask not. We've seen a man come to this church, not this building, but when we were in the other building. His foot had been cut off, the whole heel had been cut off. He was a diabetic. He had gangrene, and they said they wanted to take his leg off. And we simply laid hands on the sick, and God grew back the foot complete. Well, you say, well, that don't count. That's not the works that Jesus did. Well, if it's not the works that Jesus did, are you saying it's the works the devil did? I don't take credit for it. Jesus didn't take credit for being a healer. He said, God's a healer. He said, the Son can do nothing but what the Father shows Him. Didn't God show us in Mark 16? These signs shall follow them that believe. They lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed. Didn't He say, he that believeth, Well, you see, that's singular. That just means one person. No, it doesn't. Singular means it's the individual. He that believeth. The individual that believes. Not the group. Not the whole body. You know, not everybody. It's the individual. Are you a believer? I'm asking you. Are you a believer? Amen. Or was William Branham the only believer? It boils right down to that. Do you believe the word or do you not believe the word? He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And then, greater works shall he do. Well, I don't have the greater works. Never have. Don't even claim to have. But I know that there was one who did have. And that was William Branham. That portion of that verse is totally William Branham. Unless God brings somebody else along that has greater works than Jesus had. But you know, we haven't seen it, have we? God, how does God interpret His word? How did Brother Brown tell us? By bringing it to pass. Well, Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. A heart full of assurance. That's what I want. Where I can go eye to eye with anybody. I'm not going to back down because I know my Redeemer liveth. From Hebrews 10 verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. Not up here. In here. And in their minds I will write them. In the heart first. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing to men, but God which trieth our hearts. And Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing only one person, and that is God. Ephesians 6:6, not with the eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In fact, the Bible says, Paul said, God working in you to will and to do. It's God working in you to will. Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. In Galatians 4 and 6, and because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your heart. He says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. A spirit of bondage. No. I've given you the spirit of love and of a good mind. 2 Corinthians 1:22, who has sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our heart. And Brother Branham said, the science has found, they discovered that there's just a real little place in your heart. And they found that that's where the soul dwells. God deals with this, brother, sister. Are you coming to God through here or through here? Romans 8:27, and He searches the hearts, and He that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Romans 6:17, but God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word, and we thank You for the dynamics of Your word. We thank You, Father, that the word doesn't just come and sprinkle a little dust in our mind, but Father, that it actually penetrates like a sword, two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of soul and spirit, O God, and rightly coming right into the heart, O God, and piercing us in our heart, and helping us, Lord, to then step forward in a full assurance of faith. So, dear Father, we just pray, Lord, that each and every that it would hear the sound of my voice would come to that place where they could stand with You and with You alone, and that they would have a full assurance in their heart of their sonship, their daughtership, that they might know the power of Your resurrection in their life.
Yes.
And we pray this humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him.